As I say, we can do everything right and things can still go wrong. And if we don't do anything post that incident, there's a risk of A, the relationship becoming damaged, if we're lucky it's unchanged or damaged, or we don't move forward. And it says staff to young person, this can be staff to staff, can't it, as well on occasions, where we have a disagreement about how it could be done. If we don't find a way of coming back to repair and restore relationships, things start to get worse and worse if we're not careful. And again, time poor, so it's tricky, but there are ways we can start to think about this. In its simplest form, still not simple, but in its simplest form, we talk about listen, link and learn. So again, I fully understand that all of the young people you support can talk. But how are we helping them access that through their communication, their view on what happened and why it happened? And I'll share with you a strategy where working up in Cairns, there was someone there, they happened to be, you know, working with a 24-year-old. There were a whole range of disabilities, and they said his attention span was about 15 seconds. So this is how it could be done. There's no perfect way. But trying to access them, trying to show, they may come up with a fascinating version of the story, but we're not trying to prove them wrong with this situation. We're trying to demonstrate we're going to listen to you. Then connecting the behaviour to a potential feeling they might have. We might think it's obvious. They understand when they get angry, this is what they do. But they may not have made that connection. You might not understand what angry means. You know, and again, it's how do we help them understand what's happening? Because then, hopefully, once we've got some of these things in place, we might be able to find better ways for next time. And we encourage you to think about how do we do this, how might we do this, and there may be some you don't do it with. I'll talk about that in a minute. So the example I gave with this gentleman was, I say, this is the answer because I don't know the person. But it might be you have photographs of what happened, you know, because if these are repeat behaviours, you've got a chance of, might be photographs, might be symbols, whatever else that helps them. All right, show me what happened. And you've got maybe two. Again, friends, point to one. If you're lucky. If not, you might point to it. Okay, this is, why do you think you did that? And it might show an angry face or a happy face or whatever else you might do. You may or may not point to it, you might point to it to show them. Alright, what can you do differently next time rather than hurting someone or doing whatever else? Again, choice of two. It's your best attempt. Because the risk is if you do nothing, then we're just going to keep doing the same things. They don't know how else to behave. The other risk around some of this is we label certain feelings as bad. Now, too much anger, too much sadness isn't great for us, we know that. But you can't stop feelings showing up. You know, virtually all of us, if not all of us, get angry on occasions. It's what we do when we are angry, if it's okay or not okay. Yeah, so this is helping them think of alternatives around all of this. So, as I say, good to think through if we do it or we don't do it. Why might we not do it? One might be because it loops them back into crisis. So some young people, as soon as you mention what happened, bang up here. Right. Again, you've got to work out when do we approach that, do we approach it? It may be just too complex, too difficult to access for that young person at this moment. But always good to keep questioning, might we do this differently, might we include this bit? An approach, not the approach, is restorative practice. Alright, can be a useful approach, but part of the reason it sits quite well for us, I say, not the approach, but an approach, is because it uses scripts. I'm trying to use them as structured interviews, all right? So people know what's going to happen as we have this conversation. Keeps it a bit safer. Okay, these aren't the times to have conversations about consequences. That may come, depending on appropriate. This isn't the time to have a go at people around what's happened. Most important bit for me is outcomes, whether we use restorative practice or not. Outcomes. What outcome do we want from undertaking a debriefing, a follow-up process, or we're not? Because then, yes, then you've got reason why. Why are we doing it or why are we not doing it? As opposed to, and no criticism here, it's very common, we haven't got time to. So it's how do we find a time that's efficient enough and effective enough to do something in this process? And there's a whole range of resources around restorative practice, and there are resources around restorative practice and special needs. So if you're interested in thinking, oh, how might this be done with kids who are non-verbal? Yeah, some people have a go. done some bits around that, so we can share, I'm happy to share bits around that. If we don't do anything, there's a chance that relationships are damaged. Yeah, and we want to use this, even as horrible as it is, an opportunity to improve relationships. Other bit is, what do we do with staff? What do we do with each other as a consequence of this? Otherwise, you know, there's critical incidents, which we're generally quite good at, but that day-to-day wear and tear of things. How do we check in with each other? So it's not an opportunity to get someone into blame, right? It's not about blaming anyone, but having a conversation with relevant people about what happened. What worked, what didn't work. The final one, two, penultimate one. So one of the reasons for this is, next time Johnny loses the plot, what am I going to do? Because there's nothing worse thinking of, oh, I've got Johnny tomorrow and I've no idea what I'm going to do differently. We're more likely to be anxious, we're more likely to send out the wrong signals, Johnny's more likely to do those things. Yeah, how do we learn? Think, oh, what can I do differently next time? And the other one is, rarely, but occasionally, unfortunately, people do unprofessional things, unacceptable things. So we all make mistakes. This is not about, we all make mistakes, get it wrong, we don't quite say the right thing, it doesn't quite go the way I want it to, because of things I've done. Occasionally people do unprofessional things, then we need people to be held accountable around that. If that happened to your loved one, you want someone to do something around that. Alright, so it's rare, but on occasions it may happen. 2 minutes. What do we currently do about debriefing, working with kids post-incident? What do we currently do about working with each staff around that? What might we do? Alright, just have a quick check and think about what do we currently do, what might we do? From a student perspective, from a staff perspective. Alright, so a quick review, then we're going to do this evaluation sheet, but on the flip side of that, so on your table, there's a quiz. So we're going to do that together in a minute. Don't panic, don't do it together. But quick review, alright, just about those values based. Attitude, skill and knowledge to implement, team teach. Adding to your toolbox of approaches, your positive behaviour support approaches. And thinking about, talking about what we do following difficult incidents is super important. Reminding ourselves about communication, awareness assessment, listening and learning and making safe. Doing all we can to help with a positive outcome. And if any potential confrontation, the first person that needs to calm down is staff, us. If we're not calm and certainly trying our best to be in control, then it's certainly not got a very limited chance of getting helping the young person be calm and in control.